Football. That's right. That's right. It's NFL Australia. I'm excited. I'm feeling it tonight. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy from what? CodeBet. That's a good website. Go check that out. I'm the editor of that. You might see me on Fox Sports Lab NBA. Good telly show, that one. Oh, I'm also in the paper all around the this fair country of ours. So, yeah, you can see this mug that's very much built for podcasting in your local newspaper. Anyway, well, I'm here in Larry Harmer Studios hanging out. And on the other side of this here iPad, it's a bloke who's now 9-1. He's still hungover from our trip to Moondog Brewery on the weekend. My youngest child is still giving him shit about his picks being horrible. It's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He is your mate. It is Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Oh, mate. I thought you were going to make some joke about he's only just got in from Sydney and boy, are his arms tired. No. Anyway, yeah, so I've just literally had my birthday. Thanks for coming along, Jimmy, on Sunday, and then fucked off to Sydney and got ruined by airlines and all that sort of stuff, and I've literally just walked in the door ready to have a fucking chat to you. So my day's only picking up, Jimmy. We get to talk about football rather than my day job.
Wow, it sounds like you've just been to Mexico City or something.
Oh, fuck.
Gotten a reaming like the Cardinals. Anyway, yeah. Week 11 is Dunskies. The Vikings got. We got a Mexico City game. Jeff Saturday nearly got another win. And the Pats, they got back. Oh, God, that was good. Oof. Crazy week. Love this week. Fun as hell. But we're going to wrap up week 11 for you. That's what we do here on the old NFL Australia. We'll set you up for week 12 as well. And that's it. Because that's what we do. As we say on the tin, it's NFL Australia. We're talking all NFL.
Yeah.
Week in, week out. Oh, yeah, right. Let's get into it. Episode 61 of NFL Australia, Gaz. Let's go. You'll never catch me. Look at this. Oh, I'm faking an injury. I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to injure again. Ah, fuck my God damn it. Hey, this is Kadarius Tony, and you're listening to NFL Australia.
Fuck it out.
What a week 11, guys. What a week 11. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The Kadarius Tony shit was pretty funny. It's like, look, I'm faking an injury, and then literally next week, oh, I'm injured.
Well, it's my hamstring.
Tough sales. Random thoughts from week 11. It was pretty gnarly. We saw the Vikings 8-1 turn in a disastrous 8-2. We saw your beloved Squeagles nearly shit all down their leg.
Never in doubt.
There was just like there was more just I don't know pant packing than my fucking 2 month old, and he like shits his pants like every couple of hours. So he's wearing a nappy, obviously, but still, fucking hell. What else? We had no punt return touchdowns this year, and then we got two, like, back-to-back. It was sick. Absolutely sick, if only because one of them won my beloved Patriots
got
the game.
You over the line? Yep.
I'm going to talk about that later. Guess what? Cordarrelle Patterson broke the record for return touchdowns. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But a great week. Just I felt like there was a lot of really fun games. Punctuated by a couple of really good primetime games as well. Chargers, Chiefs was sick. And then that Mexico City game, at least for the first half, was pretty fun. And I do just like Mexico City games, Gaz, because they're in Mexico City. And it's fucking gnarly.
And the halftime band is a mariachi.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's sick. It's a great vibe. That was really fun. But I'll tell you what, one of the big random thoughts to come out of this week is that Patrick Mahomes, if you jumped on him preseason for MVP, you are feeling pretty fucking good. I'll just raise my hand there. 10-1. But the vibe at the moment is just very much like Mahomes just may have wrapped up a bit of the MVP, like with Josh Allen stumbling so bad, Hurts having a couple of scrappy weeks. Mahomes is just sort of just slapped the old schlong out there on the table. And just like, well, yeah, what do you reckon of that one? You like that one? And everyone's like, fuck, I'll tell you what, it's pretty big. What else? Joe Mixon, he got injured. That's a bit of a tricky one. Zach Wilson, He might be out of a gig, I guess. Anytime you ask your coach, hey, coach, so am I still getting to do my job? And your coach goes, I don't know. All the options are on the table. You're like, oh,
let's come back to me tomorrow.
Fuck. I think I just got fired. He's got that dog in him. He might be out there rooting his mum's best mates, but just can't beat the Pats. Juzzy Fields, he's day-to-day with a shoulder injury. Not a surprise, really, considering he's, like, carrying the Bears. Did you like that one? Not bad, guys.
Good work.
Not bad, guys. Not bad. IR for Kyle Pitts. That stinks. Makes me think.
Who's gonna block for the Falcons now?
Tough scenes. Odell Beckham Jr.'s whittled it down to, I think, the Giants and the Cowboys. Is that right? Just the two?
They're waiting till after Thanksgiving. The Giants had another wide receiver go on IR this week, so there's everyone's after someone. But
speaking of IR,
we'll see where it goes out.
Cooper Kupp. They're like, oh, he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. And it's like, Rams, just say he's done for the season.
Dunskies.
You guys are fucking cooked, mate. And you've got a couple of there as well. Yeah. Mike Williams, that was
Mike
a pretty
Williams,
fun one.
Mate, Jesus. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Oh, we finally got him back. The healthiness of the Chargers is improving. And Mike Williams is back and he's gone. That was a nice one catch while it lasted. In the offs week, between last week and this week, Eagles signed Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh after off the street after getting torched in the run game for 3 weeks, and both of them played. They barely had time to get in the building. And we'll talk more about JT starting the game. It's like, oh yeah, starts running all over him. Oh no, how about you put the new guys in? and then apparently we missed this in the early notes. I thought you would have gone straight there, Jimmy, but apparently it snows in Buffalo, New York. So I had to relocate that game.
Well, apparently only snows in like half of Buffalo, which is really weird. I think it's like there's this weird sort of apocryphal story where like half of it just doesn't get anywhere near the same amount of snow as the other half. It's bizarre. So, but seriously, like the videos,
the images of the stadium
and the footage,
nuts. Yeah,
absolutely gnarly. Loved it. Yep. So they got moved to Detroit, which means Buffalo play back-to-back games in Detroit because that's where they play this week for Thanksgiving. So.
What was the weird stat of this week was it's the first time a home team has had a winning record in Detroit in about 10 years.
Tough scenes. And the last sort of random thought in my rattling around my brain is like, geez, the Packers are done. But let's get into that because they play
on
Friday.
On that.
Boom. Wow. And they lost to the Titans. And this game, it was there for a minute. It was there.
Yeah.
And then it was not. And
yeah.
Do you think like Aaron Rodgers is going to poison or shoot Alan Lazard with a crossbow? Like which which one do you reckon he's going to do first? Because he is just like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, Jimmy. Didn't you hear him before the season?
He's
in star number one.
Rodgers, the ayahuasca kid, was fucking losing his mind about Alan Lazard and some of those misses that he had in this game. Because I swear, I think there was probably three throws that Lazard just flat out dropped, took the wrong route, or just fucking missed. And you're like, dude, you catch one of those, and this game is completely fucking turned around.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a rough one because it's like the Titans didn't exactly shellack the pack, right? Derrick Henry didn't fucking rip off 200 yards or anything, but it ended up being like Tannehill airing it out to a degree. And you're like, off we go. And they just fucking got over them in the second half. And their defense did a really good job of containing the Packers, and I think it's about the time when you turn around and go, yeah, look, Vrabel is a really good coach, and they've won, what is it? It's not 7 on the trot, is it, though? But it's got to be like 6 or something on the trot, and they're just like fucking stomping teams now. And that defense...
at the right time.
Oh, it's two in a row because they lost that fucking weird Chiefs game a couple of weeks ago, right? But after that, before that, I think they'd have won 5 straight. They've now won another 2. And they just, their defense, for all the weird fuckiness of health and all this sort of shit, they're just good.
It's doing enough. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doing enough.
Love it.
got a few. Well, the funny thing is, they've got in the second back half of their season, they've got a couple of games versus the NFC East. So that'll show a lot about both sets of teams, right? Everyone's going to find out.
The thing with the Titans,
be who they thought they were.
The thing with the Titans is kind of funny watching them and that defense. And then you look at the Packers, and you're like, wait, you've got seven first rounders on this defense, and it's just kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you were meant to be a fucking defensive juggernaut. Anyway, that was Friday's game, and the Pack dropped to 4-7. They're cooked. The Titans are 7-3. Basically, with that win, I think they've wrapped up the AFC South.
Yeah.
Very close to, because if the Colts had a pulled out a win over your boys, like, it might have been actually on like Kong, but they didn't. Let's start with Falcons-Bears. That was a fun one on Monday morning, 27-24. This game just felt like it kept going, and I enjoyed the shit out of it because there was a bunch of other games that had in that early slate that had finished up, and he sort of turned around and you're like, oh, wait, hang on, this is still close. This is still going. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? And they get like that INT at the end. You've got Fields getting busted up and getting carted off after the game, and you're like, oh, this is not great. But he also had an incredible fucking game because it's literally the Nelson Muntz Simpsons meme, right? Like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll throw it to myself. I'll do everything. He's like holding Bart out in front of him as a blocker and just like running. Just that's what Fields is doing. Like, he rushed for 85 yards and touchdown. He threw for 153 and threw for a touchdown. Like, he's unbelievable. And now if he's getting banged up, you're kind of like, Chicago, you know, you got nothing to play for.
I know, right? Yeah.
What are you doing?
But it also felt like it was 17-7, I think, when it was, when Cordarrelle took that kickoff, 103 yards, took that one back, and you're like, oh, remember that guy who everyone said was washed up because they couldn't get him to play running back and they couldn't get him to play, he wasn't a good enough wide receiver, and yeah, he's actually pretty fucking good. So, got the number 9, now he stands with the record by himself. But that kind of sort of inspire, you know, got a bit of spice back in the game, right?
Dude, it was awesome. The Falcons ran over him in the end. So, crazy vibes though, because like Cordarrelle Patterson obviously is like former Pat, and it's like, oh, Bill Belichick's a genius, man. It's like, but he couldn't figure out how to use Cordarrelle Patterson like the best, and it's just infuriating to think about, and it breaks my fucking heart because I'm like, oh, would have been good to have him for just a couple more years, and we figured it out, but. Anyway,
now they're challenging for the division. They're fucking half a loss,
5-6
game behind.
They're right there, but the Young Wei Koo field goal in the end gets them the win, and the Bears just couldn't, you know, get it there in the end. Bills Browns in Detroit, 31-23. Just sounds weird to say. Buffalo versus Cleveland in Detroit.
Detroit.
What?
Yep.
Okay. Sure.
Yep.
Weird, funky kind of game that didn't feel close but kind of was.
Yeah.
Because the Browns never kind of went away, but at the same time, like, the Bills kind of fucked them up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they had control
of this game. They weren't
there,
but then they,
And,
like,
you're sort of watching it, waiting to see if the Browns can do it. It's, like, definitely another meme, like, poking with the stick. It's like, do something. And, like, they looked great coming out of the gate and then did nothing for...
Yep. And now you've got, look, and Jake Brisket didn't play.
Jakey Brisket.
Didn't play horrible. Like, he was, put up, you know, 3 TDs and 325 yards. And it's only a couple of weeks before the Sex Pest comes back. So it's not horrible, but they are still sitting at fucking 3-7, right? So I just don't know what to make of this Browns team because they have the weapons at running back. They've got Cooper at wide receiver. Brisket's not been playing horribly. That defense, we're supposed to be a lot better than it's actually playing. But they don't feel like a 3-7 team.
That's the thing that gets me, right? About that, you talk about the defense of the Browns. Like, they're 3-7. It's like, I feel like with that that mooted defense that we talked about, they should be better than that. But
should be better.
I'll tell you what. And tell you who may have predicted them not having a great season is Muggins over here, because I went back over some of my preseason futures, and under 8.5 wins for the Browns was one of my big ones.
Okay.
So felt good about it then, and I feel great about it now. but the Bills, they're now 7-3, find themselves suddenly in a dogfight for the AFC East, which is not something I would have thought I'd be saying 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago at any point. And here we are. Whereas the Browns, yeah, the Sex Pest back in a couple of weeks. Because what, they've got a, after this week, they'll have a bye and then he's back, right? So
With against the Texans, ironically. That was not planned at all. Not at all.
Gross.
But yeah, your division though, one game, top to bottom.
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Gnarly. It's chaos. And I'll tell you what, don't mind Miami. My team, my beloved New England Patriots, speaking of the AFC East, this is an AFC division showdown. The Pats have beaten the Jets 13 straight times, make it 14 now. Wasn't 14 for most of this game. This game fucking sucked, Gaz. It was shit house.
I'm not gonna lie, I was hungover as fuck from my drinks on Sunday and was just trying to focus on paying attention to the Eagles game. And at that, at the end of that, I just got a ranting text message from you about the fucking Pats. And I'm like, oh, bear with me, I've got to go back and watch it. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I'm glad I didn't watch the first 58 and a half minutes of that
show. So I had it on the, my usual vibe is to have Red Zone on the big TV.
Yeah.
Usually the Pats game on the iPad or one of the laptops, and away we go.
Yeah.
And I had it on the, actually had the Pats game on the, I think because it was such a fucking slogfest, I think it had gone longer than some of the other ones, and it was just still going. And you're like, how is this fucking dragging on? This sucks. This is such a punish. Three all until there was literally no time left. What, 5 seconds left in the game?
Fucking ridiculous.
And then it was 10-3. Absolute chaos punt return where I was messaging mates of mine back in the States who were shit-faced in a bar, losing their minds about it. And it's like, yeah, nothing happened literally all fucking game until 5 seconds to go in the game when Marcus Jones just takes the, what, 84-yard punt return to the house. There's a nice backside check that the refs don't call, and then was checked by the NFL league office. Went, nah, you got him from the side. So it's fine. Like, all right, cool. Thanks, guys. But 10-3, I'll take
Zachy Wilson, mate. 77 yards for Zachy Wilson.
I think there's like minus 12, I think, yards in the second half in the passing game or something. Absolute chaos like that.
Wasn't there in the second half they were averaging 2.7 inches per play or something weird?
Per offensive play, it was just, I'll tell you what, not a great day for Zach Wilson. And, it couldn't happen to a better team.
And then came out afterwards and was asked, are you letting the defense down? Is the offense letting the defense down? And he just said no. And then got fucking reamed by his defense, and then
not great.
All of a sudden has a coach who's like, yeah, we're not necessarily settled.
Gaz, I'm not entirely like convinced that if you throw your defense who held the Patriots to 3 points all game, if you throw them under the bus, go, nah, it's not my fault we only scored 3 points as well. Like, come on, man. It's like, my dude, you're the quarterback. It's like, oh, that was windy. It's like, you realize the other team also plays in that wind, right? But at the same time, like, just like perspective, like, what, special teams, a punt return, and then the point after outscored both offenses. Like, that is fucking wild. So the second latest was Deshaun Jackson, right, for your beloved Squeagles back in 2010 that I think had the last game winning score punt return.
Walk-off punt return,
which is fucking unreal. But yeah, 14 straight now over the Jets. I felt pretty good about my pick, which I think it was the Jets +4.5. I expected, to be honest, for us to return that to a like, and as soon as he sort of like made the cut back inside, I'm like, oh, he's going to get cleaned up, but we're going to get close enough if we, well, I don't think we had a timeout left. No, maybe. Fuck, I can't even remember. And you're like, ooh, maybe we'll get to overtime or win, you know, by three and I'll get that pick. Nah, I'll take the win every fucking day of the week. That was sick. Enjoyed it. Loved it.
Yep.
Jets now dropped to 6-4. Pats 6-4. And, I mean, we've talked about the standings. Like, it drops the Jets below the Pats because, I mean, they've beaten them twice this year, obviously.
Yeah.
And gets a bit squirrely at that 6-4 spot, because when you think about the playoffs, it's going to be a shit fight now. Like, with those three, whoever comes, like, the bottom three teams in the AFC East, like, they're going to be, what, battling essentially with the second team in the AFC North, which will either be Baltimore or Cincy. The, maybe whoever comes second in the charge, like, out of the Chargers, whatever, I guess.
Yep.
You kind of got to hold those those teams off, but it's going to be fucking squirrely as gas when we get to the end of the season. Like, it's going to be chaos, so...
Yeah, well, there's a potential that all wild cards in both conferences could come from the East.
Exactly.
If you think about it that way, they're all fucking... Anyway, good times.
Moving along, let's do Rams-Saints, because that game fucking sucked a fat one before we get to your team. Andy Dalton was good, and I stay true to my word. I am not betting any fucking game that involves the Saints the rest of this season. They win 27-20. They're 4-7. Still technically, obviously, within a shot with the NFC South, because it sucks.
I've got absolutely no incentive to watch any game consisting of the Rams for the rest of this year.
Yep.
Honestly, there is absolutely nothing that they're giving me. That offensive line is a fucking sieve. They've got everyone's on IR, lost cup now, no run game. The defense isn't as advertised. Like... just nothing. Yep. There's just nothing. So let's move on.
They're also reigning Super Bowl champs. They have the third worst point differential in the entire NFL, and the worst in the NFC. So
yeah,
not ideal. But look for the Saints. This is one of those things where they go, well, we might get healthier. We might be able to make a run. It's like, but you're still the Saints. Like, you'll fuck this up. You're coached by Dennis Allen. I can't trust you. So. Fuck them. Moving right along. Your squeagles, 17-16, 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Well, wasn't this a journey?
Just keeping up your usual tab of, fuck it, we'll score all our points in one quarter. This time, you made it the fourth, so that's good.
Yeah, well, look, every game's been different, and we've all tried to prove that we're not one-trick ponies, and this time it was coming back from our first 10-point... deficit at the beginning of the fourth quarter since that famous game that DeSean Jackson, we put in a couple of touchdowns towards the end of the last quarter against the Giants and winched one on our last second punt return. But this game, it was the Colts had not scored on an opening drive this year, I don't believe, and they just gave us a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, rammed him down the throat as, you know, the Commies had done last week and Damian Pierce did, and then they brought in Lindell Joseph and Dominguez Sue and kept him to 35 yards for the rest of the game. The defense actually kept us in this game for once, and got a couple of sacks. Nice. That was pretty good. But it was the offense that couldn't do anything, and then when we could move, there was just uncharacteristic fumbles.
AJ Brown getting the one pump.
AJ Brown one, right? Yeah, and then Hurts.
That felt like the game winning, like the game like coming back drive as well. Yeah. And as soon as that got stopped, you're like, oh, they're gonna fucking lose this. Holy shit.
Yeah. But there was some weird shit. I mean, obviously we missed, that was the first game without Dallas Goedert, and who's been such a key to us. But it was weird, like some weird play calls from Nicky Sriracha. Like, he called, well, with the trailing, he called Boston Scott three runs in a row in the third or fourth quarter. I'm like standing there screaming at my TV going, what the fuck are you doing? Well, it's actually Shane Steichen who calls plays now. But
as somebody who had the Eagles -6.5 in a bet as well, I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing, Nicky Sriracha?
Right? He's barely touched the ball.
It's like they gave up. It's kind of like, we're going to lose this anyway. Let's see what he can do. It's like, well, very clearly nothing. Why are you running the same play three different fucking times in a row?
But Jalen Hurts, they called seven designed run plays for Jalen Hurts in the last quarter. And he just took it on his own back. And that play, I got to admit, that play for the touchdown at the end was a thing of beauty. Like, the fucking hole, the middle of the field just opened up. What was it?
Like, motherfucking Moses out there. Just like, Moses.
It
just
was
going,
fucking, that's me.
Get out of my way, motherfuckers. I'm going to jump
in the end
zone.
Both the safeties, like, the safeties went to take the tight end and Devontae Smith on either side. And Jalen Hurts went, oh, there's a gap straight up the guts here. And got it and got over the line. And then, of course, what made viral news was Nikki Sriracha standing on the fucking on the banner, screaming at the crowd and at the Eagles fans. He was pretty pumped up, not only because it was his first game back at the Colts, but he was pretty emotional in the press conference afterwards because he's pretty unhappy about the way that Frankie Reich, his mate, his mentor, got the ass. So he kind of definitely wanted to stick it up Jim Irsay and the Colts.
Love it. And
walked away with the win. A win's a win, a win's a win, a win's a win, and we're 9-1.
I can't believe you're 9-1 and nearly lost to Jeff Saturday. What a world.
I know, right? Like, but they beat the Chiefs early in the year, so
that fourth quarter, it's just like, yeah, they've cooked it. Like, this is I should have seen this coming. It's the because as soon as you blow that sort of streak, you then tend to, like, shit the bed again. Like, we saw it with the Bills, right? Like, the Bills, like, look like top of the fucking world, Ma. They lose a game. It's like, oh, fuck. And then they shit the bed again last week. And you're like, oh, the wheels. The wheels are off.
I was wondering, so I can't remember which podcast I was listening to today, but they're saying, oh, look, you get so shocked when you get that first loss after a whole win. You're like, if you start to trail in that second game, you start to doubt yourself. And then there's all that. And then, like, actually growing some balls and putting on your big boy pants and winning the game. So hopefully hopefully a full week of the new tackles and all that sort of stuff. And we play Green Bay Packers this week. So if there's a get right game, it will hopefully be this one.
My favorite thing as well is Americans saying, put on your big boy pants. Like, were you wearing small boy pants? Like, what the fuck? It is one of the stupidest American turns of phrase. I put on my big boy pants. Like, yeah. Like, you should already be wearing your big boy pants, you fucking moron. Like, were you wearing shorts? Like, I don't know what you're fucking talking about.
What are you referring to?
One of the stupider fucking, like, anachronisms, I feel. Anyway, 31-18, this is the Jamal Williams Show. That's the Detroit Football Lions beating the New York Football Giants.
Wow.
Bit of a shock, but also not really when you go, they're still the Giants. They're 7-3. Detroit, absolutely flying all of a sudden. 4-6. They won 3 on the trot after that fucking bullshit, crazy come-from-behind win against the Bears. But Jamal goes for 3 touchdowns, ran right over the top of them. This is one of those ones where you're like, oh, the Giants, if they can't get Saquon going, then they can't win because they don't have any
wide receivers.
Like none. Like fucking zero, bro. Danny Dimes was awesome if you picked him up in fantasy to fill in for a week like Jimmy did and enjoyed that. So that was kind of cool. But otherwise, you're like, this is where you can't trust the Giants. And again, not going to bet them ever. Like, you just can't. You just don't know what's going to happen. Nothing else to really add to that game. I mean, unless you want to
Golladay got one catch and got a Bronx cheer from the Giants crowd. Hey, that's what we paid you all that fucking 70 mil for. One catch.
Former Lion, Kenny Golladay as well. Love that. But yeah, that sort of combo of DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams is kind of like one of those things you're like, this is how it's kind of meant to go, right? So.
Yeah, and Aiden Hutchinson's like kicking in.
Oh, he's going nuts.
Oh, she's in the background. I might pause
fucking rah, 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 just off his head. I love it. So Gaz now has to yell at him. I love it. He's just going to go fucking throw him out in the
sorry, I just had to mute.
Love it.
The mute, the mic while I screamed at the dog. Yeah, but Aiden Hutchinson showing up like a number 2 overall pick. You know, he's got a couple of key plays in the last 2 weeks. It's been fucking awesome.
Love a good outside edge rusher. You know, you just sort of need that, dude. Ravens beat the Panthers 13-3. I saw about, I don't know, the fucking 5 highlights that were in this game. I saw all 5 of them and I couldn't give a shit. You know?
Was it 3 all at halftime or something fucking ridiculous?
No, it was 3 zip. And then it was like 3 all and going into the fourth quarter. And then the Ravens finally got over the end. Lamar sort of got them in touchdown. You're like, all right, they've won.
Yep, cool.
That's again why you can't trust the Ravens even with big lines. I think so. What were they? Like 13.5-point favorites or something in this game? It was a big one. I think we both went Carolina, like based on the simple fact, like the Ravens offense, you just can't quite trust it to put them up. So.
No.
We were proven right. Once again, the Commanders, they beat the Texans in a game. Look, More power to you if you watch this one. 23-10, the Heineken, 191 yards. Antonio Gibson, 72 yards. Moving on. 22.
Oh, I think the thing that's worth mentioning to this is all of a sudden the Commanders are 6-5.
Unbelievable.
Right? As every and just touching back on the New York Football Giants. Oh, we'll touch base further on them in a second, so I'll leave that alone. But come out afterwards, Ron Rivera, and said that when healthy, this is still Heineken's job. Love so it. Wentz is going to be riding the bench for a little while.
Tough sayings. Hate to say it. Wouldn't want to be a duck in the Pennsylvania area, Maryland, wherever, in the next week.
When he's got some spare time.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got plenty of spare time at the moment. He's not boning up on plays. Overtime. This game was absolutely fucking psycho and great if you had, I think, the Raiders plus 2.5 like your mate Jim. 22-16, they win in overtime. Walk-off. Touchdown from Devontae Adams. The craziest part about this overtime was that it was, what, like a couple of plays and that was it? Like Derek Carr just went, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll just throw it to Devontae Adams and we're done. It was pretty chaos. I enjoyed it immensely. Again, because as I mentioned, having with them, you know, plus 2.5 was kind of shitting it right there towards the end, but we got there and I was happy as hell. So...
That said, that last quarter of that game, it was a lot of offensive incompetence, right? I'm just sitting there going, does someone want to win this fucking game? I saw the last quarter and a bit of that, and I was like, no one just fucking wants this game. Like, this could have been, like, how terrible the Raiders have been. This Rusty's get right game. Oh, no, that's not happening. And then this could have been the same the other way around. Well, we know that they're fucking atrocious, so let's go and take on the Broncos. And no, it was Adams did his thing, got him over the line, and not much more to say about that.
But seriously, that was also, that overtime was literally three plays. So the first one was a run play that got stuffed for minus 1 yard, and then it was to Foster Moreau for 33 yards, and then Devontae Adams, 35-yard touchdown.
Yep.
We're out.
See you later.
Bye. Fuck you,
Mac
Denver.
Hollins saying, see you. What did he say? Mac Hollins walking off being seen to mount, see you bitches.
Absolute chaos. Anyway, the only reason they got there is like they got a field goal like within like the inside the 2 minute warning, I think it was. Yep. And it's like, all right, cool. Off we go. And it was great, like just seeing that sad Denver crowd. There's like all these just weird Denver fans. Just a bit weird. And like, you got to be pretty full on into it if you're going to be at that Denver Raiders game. Like, what, a 3-6 team versus a then 2-7 team.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a punish. Anyway, great walk off though. You love to see that. And kind of the bounce back you expected from the Raiders at the very end, but basically, I mean, they stink.
Well,
Cowboys, they shit pump the Vikings. That's it. That's the tweet. 40-3. Well, 40-3. This is what, the worst Vikings home loss in a billion years. The worst loss, I think, taken by an 8-1 team. And from the very get-go, as soon as you saw that they could run the ball on the Vikes, you're like, oh, shit, watch out. And between
Pollard
and Zeke were absolute chaos, and it was awesome. Like Pollard, what did he have? Like almost 200 combined yards, right? It was like 189 or something.
Yep.
And just touchdowns coming out his ass. Just the speed of Pollard was the one thing that you're like, oh, that's right. Zeke just running into it. So I think they both scored twice as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're using Zeke now to just punch it in and small. Oh yeah, we're paying you a lot of money to run 3 yards.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Love it. But there was just nothing to talk about with the Vikes, right? 8-1.
No,
and they
I think
just
it was like, what did Cousins hit 100 yards? I think it was 90 something.
It was. It put a big dent in my Justin Jefferson.
105 yards. He was. There you go.
My most yards for the year took a bit of a battering with Jefferson only getting the 33 this week. So. But anyway, I think we're still on pace. Jeez. All right, what was it? That was like, seriously, it was hilarious. It was just they fucking slaughtered them. And
could not.
The defense.
Seven sacks, I think. Seven sacks of the, yeah.
Micah Parsons just got hurt, came back, went, I don't care. I just want to fucking keep killing Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons that's, is all
I know
of us.
For a, I can support that. But
but 7-3 now, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because what is it? The AFC beast and the NFC beast are just unstoppable because they're our divisions.
It's going to get to, this is the spicy part of the season because you've now got Giants Cowboys this week. And then it's, I think it's Giants Commanders next week. And we play the Titans. And then, because you start to get Christmas Day where we play the Cowboys. Like, it's starting to get all of those spicy NFC East playing each other games. It's going to find out who's who, I guess.
Love it. Bengals, they fucked around and found out. They beat the Steelers just 37-30. I think there was this stat like the Mike Tomlin as a home underdog in like a second half of a season just hasn't ever not covered, I think. So this is like the first time that's probably happened in ages. But it's just one of those things like the Steelers are just hard to put away at home.
Yep.
They sort of just kept coming after the Bengals. The Bengals had just enough. The weirdest part was we mentioned that Joe Mixon gets hurt. They just put in Pirine.
Pirine went off.
And he was fine. Like, it's just like, wait, do the Bengals need a good running back or can they just have whoever the fuck and we're good? But they leaned on him shit ton. Pickett was all right.
Yeah.
Burrows was good. The throw I think he had to Tyler Boyd late was absolutely fucking spectacular. Basically sealing the win. Like, I think Boyd didn't even have a catch until that point and just fucking nailed him with like this 27 yarder. The boy just went up and got. It was awesome.
Higgins had a monster as well.
But Pirine ends up with three touchdowns and only like 50 something yards. It was like, how does that happen? You're like, well, just, I don't know. He did it receiving. Like, it wasn't, the rushing yards are only 30 and they just beat them enough in the air and Burrows is good.
On the outside, pushed it in,
Only the two sacks from that much-vaunted Steelers defense. TJ Watt did have one absolutely fucking sick interception that was...
How is that even possible? Just stuck the mitts up and then all of a sudden he's got the fucking ball.
I have you now. All right, cool. But that's basically the Steelers. Look, we knew they were Dunskies, but this is officially, I think, Packer up, boys, you're over. Bengals 6-4, right there behind the Ravens. And then the last two games, prime time. Chiefs beat the Chargers 30-27 because Herbs and Mahomes can only play tight games.
Yep.
I think, what is it, like all of their showdowns have basically come down to like one possession, one score games, I think. So it's pretty good. But Chiefs, I mean, I mentioned at the top, Mahomes just leads the game-winning drive, hits Kelsey, just waltzes in. Absolute thing of beauty with... it's one of those 100% of the times, like Mahomes, you're like, what's he got, a minute 50? Oh, yeah, it's too much time.
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
Exactly. Tell me anyone who was watching that game who didn't turn around and go, oh, that's too much time.
He didn't even need the entire
definitely
time.
Left too much
minute
time.
And 10. Like, there was still 30 seconds left. He left too much time for Herbs, and they actually had to sort of sweat out the last 30 seconds. But they held them off, obviously, and get the win. But this was wildly entertaining. I mean, 30-27, I mean, obviously the scoreline, you're like, well, fuck yeah, that was pretty cool. But 21 points in the last quarter, you're like, yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Especially if you had bet the over, guys. 52 and a half, you little ripper. Anyway, I did actually go out into the kitchen at one point because I was working from home on Monday, watching all the games, etc. And I rattled off all the dumb shit I needed for a specific bet to get across the line on this game. Which was Mahomes over 300 yards, ends up with 329. But basically, it all came down to essentially that last drive and everything hit with the over 300 yards for Mahomes, the over for the game, and obviously the Chiefs win. So she heard me yelling at one point, and it's like, oh, did all that dumb shit that you would bet on actually happen? And I'm like, yes. yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
So I was pretty stoked with it. But it was a fucking awesome game. The one thing I just can't get over, though, Gaz, is Herb's stupid mustache. I'm like, my dude, if you look like a puby kid and you grow a puby mustache, I just can't. Nah. Come on, man. Like, we're going to fix this. Like, either go full clean shaven or go, like, I don't know, grow a proper fucking mo
He's trying to fake his way into an R-rated movie.
100%. He's like two fucking kids in a trench coat. It's so worrisome. Anyway, but this is great. And I think it's like one of those things that, look, the Chargers, doesn't matter how banged up they are, when they're playing like a division foe, they're up and about, because it looked like they had this for most of this game. And they did, obviously. They, like that last drive where Herbs just fucking dissected the Chiefs up and down. Like the Chargers can't run the ball. Like the Chiefs struggle, I think, stopping the run anyway. So I was kind of like, eh, whatever. But like the Chargers, you're like, cool. You've got Keenan Allen back. He has a couple of weird fucky drops and up routes, etc. But then basically it goes, that's fine. We'll bang on a massive Keenan Allen completion. We'll just get there anyway. Boom. Look at this. We've got 27 points. We're going to beat the Chiefs. Then Mahomes happens. Anyway.
But strangely enough, it feels like the first half of this season, the Chargers have been just decimated, just injured, just one of those ridden off seasons that you just can't buy a trick. And they're sitting at 500.
Yep. It's weird.
So, I mean, when you look at what we were talking about before, about those that we now need to start talking about that wild card race. Already, you're down to what? Probably Indy's not in part of that conversation. So we're down to five teams, three roles, three positions, five teams.
Yep.
Really, you've got all of the East, Bengals and Chargers.
Yeah, that's kind of it. So chaos. Can't wait. Well, can't bloody wait. Josh Palmer with the two touchdowns, 106 yards. That was fun. Because he's like, cool, just catch the ball, man. Herbs will find you. Eckler, just one of those weird guys where you're like, I feel like you're good, but you're just, oof. Anyway. And then today, Niners. To put a quick bow on that Chiefs one, they're 8-2 now. And it's one of those ones you go, oh, hang on a second. Are they going to end up with a one seed? How the fuck did this happen? And you're like, we told you at the start of the year, don't stress, never stress.
It'll just work out how Chiefs to go to 15 passes to 15 receivers instead of 15 passes to one receiver.
Anyway, Niners kicked the fuck out of the Cards in Mexico City, 38-10, four touchdowns for Jimmy G, handsome Jimmy G out there crushing it.
Wow.
I mean, they just, as I said earlier, shit pumped them. Bit of a tough one.
But it was still wildly entertaining because the combination, like that Debo Samuel sweep around the outside, down the sideline. They're just carving through defenses. Between
the Kittle touchdowns, the Kittle touchdowns are fucking sick. It was awesome.
And the fact that you can do that with CMC and Debo in the first half and then go, we haven't played that Mitchell guy yet.
Let's play Elijah Mitchell now.
Just bring him out and just go, fucking 10 yards, 18 yards. Fuck, man. Jeez.
Colt McCoy's last interception as well, was just hilarious. Like, did you try to throw it to the defender? Like, because there was two of them and none of your dudes. Like, what, Colt, what are you doing, man? Still got the coolest name going, but Colt McCoy, like, is the perfect dude to bring in for one game.
Yeah.
You play him more than that, you're fucked. So
you're going to get found out, yeah.
Not great. But we'll talk about them again in a second for some year-nars, right? So Niners, that leaves them at 6-4, absolutely rolling. The Cards, 4-7. I mean, what do you want to say? Like, Hopkins played. He had been dealing with a hamstring. He was looking good.
He's still fine.
No Kyler. He was still dealing with his hammy. They were both questionable going into it. But I don't know, man. This Arizona team is wildly, wildly underwhelming.
Yep.
Nice. Cool. It's just me and us. Right. Easy one. Let's roll it straight off there, Gaz. Yeah, nah. Eagles, Vikings out there looking a bit wobbly. Just saying, your boys are the Niners, the scariest team left in that NFC now. Yeah, nah.
Look, I think if the... I wouldn't be discounting the Cowboys if they come and kick the shit out of the Giants this week. All of a sudden, the pieces coming together at the right...
If they kick the shit out of the Giants,
If they kick the shit out of the Giants this week, because that's couple on the row. But as we mentioned, the Niners getting healthy at the right time on defense, then adding CMC, then getting Mitchell. Like, yeah, they're fucking scary. a couple of teams, though. The first two teams that you did mention, though, the Eagles and the Vikes, needed a rocket put up them. So I'm hoping this is the right time for that stumble. If you're going to have it like two thirds of the way through the season. But yeah, it's not. It's definitely not lonely at the top, Jimmy.
No, not in the NFC. Like it's crazy. No. Like between San Francisco on offense, you're just sort of sitting there doing their. Hang on. It's someone who was like even like just better than Jimmy G, would this just be the best team ever? Like
yeah.
Between Ayuk, who just barely even gets a look in, but he's still fucking wildly dangerous. Debo,
yeah.
McCaffrey, Kittle, Elijah Mitchell, you're like, dude, like how do we stop this? Like what do we do?
Yeah,
like,
pick your poison.
Nuts. I love it. And then the defense is just full of fucking absolute boosts. So between Bosa, Fred Warner, like Chavarius Ward was fucking incredible today. Like just that sort of shit. Anyway,
yep.
They're horrifying and they would scare the fuck out of me if I was in the NFC East. But I'm not.
Oh.
And I'm not in any conference because I don't play NFL football. Packers, their season's over, Gaz. Yeah, nah.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be. It's now beyond that. It's like, how do you rebuild around that fan base? I mean, like the fucking... No, it's all right. We can surround our reigning MVP with other weapons. We can let Adams go. And now Adams is having a shit season. Fucking the Packers are having a shit season. And the entire fan base is going to go, but we were having fun last year.
Fine. What happened?
What the fuck happened?
I think the year...
Sorry, Mace, cooked.
The year now might be more... will the Green Bay Packers help Jimmy win his bet of Minnesota, Green Bay, top two in that division? Any order. Vikes obviously got that sort of locked away, but the Packs,
yeah.
The Pack are now underneath the Lions because they're 4-7, the Packers. The Lions are 4-6 and have the win over them, right, already? So
yeah,
I'm, don't know about you there, Gaz.
We're in trouble with
that one,
mate.
I'm a bit worried about that one.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to that. It might have been $50, but whatever. The thing is, I think they play the Lions in the last game of the season, so...
Could be the only thing that Jimmy's got left to care about in that last week of the season.
Tough stuff. The Rams are cooked as well, right? Yeah, nah.
Oh, that's another one that's definite. Because I think even worse than the Pack, you're just like, oh, you guys just, I don't think you're going to come together. Whereas the Rams have just get worse every week.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a talent pool. It's just injuries. And it's just fucking, there's nothing on the horizon for them. So you're just going to go, you know what, just pitch for draft pick. Not the draft picks, they the can't. Rams, lol.
That's the best part, right? Detroit have got to be sitting there going, hang on, this is fucking great. We stink.
Yeah.
The Rams stink. Hey, way, yeah. Oh, way, oh, bo, bo. This is great.
Here we go.
And all we had to do was hang out with Jared Goff.
I know, right? Yeah.
Seriously, though, like, they got Jared Goff would... Keeping Matt Stafford have kept, like done any fucking different for his line, Sam?
Yeah, they wouldn't have got a Super Bowl. But.
The Rams definitely wouldn't have. But anyway, what else? In terms of NRs, like that, it's got to be one of the worst. That's got to be one of the worst Super Bowl hangovers of a winner ever, right?
Yeah, it's supposedly, isn't it? The you were talking about records before. I thought you were going to mention that, but I thought it was something like it's the worst. Start to a season by a super reigning Super Bowl champion, you know, some ridiculous amount of years. If I was prepared, I'd have that stat in hand.
Good stuff. Let's fly through the rest of this anyway. Are the Giants who we thought they were after that loss, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
I don't want to have a knee jerk. Well, that's kind of exactly what we do, but
that's all we do.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it all season. I know, right? I said that they'd fall off a cliff at some point, and I know it's only one game, but you've now got a feisty fucking. Cowboys, you've got a feisty, a spicy Commanders team coming in. I think they've still got to play the Vikings, and they've still got two games against the Eagles. So that's a tough end to your schedule. All of a sudden, it was the beginning of the season. You were like, oh, the Eagles, the NFC East has got the softest schedule going around. Now, the fact that they play each other is actually a little bit tough.
It's very tricky.
So yeah, I think there's a very, very strong chance that they finish last in the East.
Jesus. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. That's who I thought they were.
Yeah, exactly.
Last one.
Blokes.
Herbs Mahomes, is that better than Allen Mahomes? What do you reckon? Yeah, nah. the tricky one now, right? Like every Herbs Mahomes game is fucking off the chain. But at the same time, all the Josh Allen Mahomes games have been off the fucking chain. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also like there's been a weapons issue on the Herbs side, right? Like we were all like, Herbs has come in the perfect scenario. He's got Keenan Allen, Eckler, Williams, like fucking this is great. But then it's just, the injuries have just kept them. They've never had that kind of full strength thing. So if that's if they're the final three or four teams left in the AFC, you got to think that that's going to be pretty shit hot, right?
I could definitely go back-to-back weeks watching playoff games between Herbs and Mahomes and then Mahomes Allen, I'm just saying. Good bloke of the week, bloke I want to buy a beer.
Mac Jones roll out that, will he, you know, round out that four, mate?
That was unfair. That's uncalled for, guys. That's a below the belt shot. Jeez.
Oh, well, look at the offensive just juggernauts that would be is part of that round table of those three teams plus Matt Patricia.
Oh man, why am I copping shots left, right, and center?
Come on, you've been giving me shots of fucking weeks.
My team put up 3 points this year. until a fucking punt return touchdown with 5 seconds left in the game. All because we got one in cut and two defenders missed him at once, and then we cleaned up another defender on the run home. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Good bloke of the week, the bloke I want to buy a beer, that TJ Watt catch, I was so fucking over the moon about it. I'm like, you got to buy him a beer for that. Like, the bloke has just been injured all fucking season, comes back, turns this Steelers team sort of into a much more respectable outfit at least in the last couple of weeks, and also snags on the better interceptions you'll ever see. Loved it.
I can't believe you escaped from the you didn't pick your own punt returner.
Well, I'm gonna go. Well, Marcus Jones is the obvious one as well. Like, I'll just go out there and he doesn't have to buy a beer in the Brunswick area ever again because I've got him covered.
No, that's true. For me, it's Cordarrelle, right? Like, how many times do you break a career record? He now stands alone. So he was tied with Josh Cribbs, and I've gone blank on who else the fucking other dude's name was. Clearly written notes after I jumped off the plane. But now he stands alone with nine. This is kick returns, right? Because obviously he had Devin Hester and things like that and punt returns. And it's just it just really, really brings home that some of these dudes need to be in the Hall of Fame. Special teamers are people too, mate.
I mean, I guess. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
they are.
So it's like kickers of people too, but yeah.
And you got another one.
Yeah, the last one was, I don't know if you saw this, it went viral. Kyle, I don't know really, that was his Twitter handle, his Twitter name. The guy who tricked the Vikes in the salute to service to put up a picture of porn star Johnny Sins on the Jumbotron by saying, sure. Did you see that?
No.
Did you see that? You didn't see that went around everywhere. It was like he tweeted at Vikings. This is my brother. This is my cousin. He's, you know, serving overseas. He's a really massive fan of the Vikes. It'd be really great to get a shout out. And so they put him on the Jumbotron, and it was porn star Johnny Sins. So that's been going around quite virally, Jimmy.
Talking about the Vikings getting shit pumped, and I guess right there.
Yeah. Right there. It writes itself, Jimmy. It writes itself.
It does. Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates this week? Bang. Easy one for me. Melvin Gordon. He was like,
mate, both of yours were the obvious, and you wrote them down before I had a chance.
I was so stoked with that Melvin Gordon one. Watching that one with the Broncos, I think he had the fumble, and they're just like, dude, would you fuck off? And like, I swear they just had him escorted from the state, from the field. Like, you just never saw him again. It's like, on your bike, pal, see ya. So he's been waived by the Broncos. Like, he's just been Fumble McFumbleson basically since he got to Denver too. So a bit of a tough one for Melvin Gordon, but also that's kind of what you get if you can't hold the ball. And the obvious one.
But also was he, could he be like, wait, we're paying this cunt $250 million. He's tied to me for another couple of years. What's the shortest way out of here? I'm just going to drop the pill.
Just keep dropping it. Yeah, best of luck getting picked up, though, Melvin. Melvin Gordon, just a bit of a rough one. Zach Wilson's the other one, obviously. 5-2 as a starter, but the two Like this year, it's like, but there are two against the Pats that he's like dropped, and it's basically cost him his job because it's happened, what, two times in the last 3 weeks. And everyone's like, you know what? Joe Flacco would have won that game. You're like, to be honest, he probably would have. Like, oh, that
fucking
is...
Mike White. What's it? What's the other backup? Is it Mike White?
Mike White, yeah. The guy who didn't create White Lotus, HBO series, but the other Mike White.
But the other Mike White.
Zach Wilson, like the old mate, no mates, just also then dives into the simple fact that he's like, oh, yeah, I don't, it's not my fault that we lost. It's like, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't it? Like, whoa. No. Sure, you didn't throw three interceptions this time, but you still fucking stunk out loud, bro.
You still fucking stunk it.
Go root some of your mum's mates some more. what else you got?
All right. Couple for me. It's got to go to Carson, right? He's Carson Wentz comes in, big trade, going to save the Commanders, save this Commanders team. Riverboat Ron, you know, got a chance to turn it around. But, Jimmy, as part of that trade, any more than 70%, and that number three pick goes to a number two. And so you're like, oh, hang on. Maybe we won't rush you back from that injury. Maybe just take your time. And in the middle of that, the old Heineken knocks off the only undefeated team. Shit, palms the Texans this week.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're back above 500. And you're like, well, why would you? So you've lost your job on your day off. So, yeah, look, I don't think Carson's getting any beers bought for him in DC at the moment.
Who gets fired on their day off?
Who gets fired on their day off? Last one for me. AB is... Antonio Brown is back on the social medias again. And it's just been all over the place. He posted that fat Derek Carr, which was Derek Carr with like a fat chin. I don't know. So that was... I know, it's not supposed to be funny. But then he posted a fake photoshopped naked photo of Giselle on his Snapchat. And you just feel like, I reckon Tom knows some dudes. I reckon Tom would definitely know some dudes who, you know, there's surely from his old days, there's some fucking Irish gangsters in Southie. Fucking
sort this right out.
You've still got TB12 tattoos.
Yeah, I don't know. AB, I think he's gone through some things. I mean,
slung
it in the pool a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, unpopular opinion of the day. I don't know. The Packers just sit Aaron Rodgers. Like, what are you going to do? Like, the season's done. See if you got Jordan Love.
Yeah,
you know, got anything there? Off you go. Flip side.
Well,
you're going to
get some good draft picks.
Exactly.
Don't you want to know whether you're going to need to get a quarterback with them?
The Bears shouldn't sit Justin Fields, though. Keep him playing. I want to see just what he can do. And, you know, he's young enough that get him some more game reps. Just don't let him get fucking hurt. And away.
I was going to say, don't bother. Like, should we not see if he's got a busted ass shoulder first?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, unless he's hurt.
Ah, roll him out. She'll be fine. He's only running the ball anyway. It's all like he has to throw it.
And the Australian spotty this week was going to be Mitch Wish, but my laptop just decided to shit itself, so that was pretty cool. Thanks for coming, boys. And let's see if I can bring it back up.
Something worth another mention is are you still recording?
Yeah. We never stop, Gaz. We never stop here.
I wasn't sure whether you had paused. I was like, no, they've announced the next generation of like the kind of international development series, which is what Myalata came from. And there's another Aussie who's made it through as part of that. Whose name I'm going to not remember at this very given time. Once again, research is what happens, what is supposed to happen before I do these things.
Superboss was banging stuff around. I enjoyed that on the weekend. But Mitch Wish today. So the thing for me, the long punt, 61 yards out there in the altitude of Mexico City. And so he had the four punts, and they went for a total of 218 yards.
Wow.
Average of 54 and a half. Fucking banging bombs. So you love to see it from Mitch Wish. Should we Outback Takehouse. That's right, Gaz. It's Tuesday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah. May as well be bloody 2-for-1 blooming onions. No prick knows what the fuck these things are. What are they? Deep-fried onions made to look like a flower. How the fuck is that Australian, you idiots? You fat bastard Yanks. You love just frying up your onions, I guess. Either way, 2-for-1 only at Outback. And today's Flame Grill take is, having seen that defense in action absolutely stymie the Minnesota Vikings, your Dallas Cowboys, Gaz, are winning the Super Bowl only at Outback. This is one of the one of the hotter takes I saw floating out there. It's like, oh, we see like the defense, is, if they could do that to the Vikings, they could do that to the Vikings were the most fraudulent 8-1 team we've ever seen, I think, right? Didn't they have like the second worst point differential of any 8-1 team in history? So
yeah, correct.
Yeah, you knew that there was going to be a worm that turned. Kirk Cousins can't be shirtless on too many more planes without karma coming for his dumb ass. So, but still, the Cowboys look better than I thought they would this week. I think we both ended up taking the Vikings because the Cowboys winning the previous week over the Packers, right? Is that right? I think I got my dates right.
Yeah,
like lost. Last week, the week prior. That's right. And they lost. So you're like, oh, here we go. Yeah. Watch out. And nope. Nope. They just came out.
Yeah, I didn't think that they would. I couldn't believe that we were given points by on the Vikings. And then all of a sudden, yeah, some the betting gods knew more than we fucking did.
They always do, Gaz. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
What about the fantasy gods, Captain Fantasy? I racked up another win this time over Jez. You hate to see that. Oh, sorry. That's just the sound of a million tiny violins playing. I think that leaves me at 7-4 up there in the stratosphere with your good self, I believe.
Yeah, I'm 7-4, but for me, it's a slump, and I've lost a couple in a row. This time to Tav, it's not who I lost to. I just really hold something against the fact that I lost to a team who started 4 fucking Green Bay Packers in 2022, and he still fucking won, Jimmy. That says a lot about my team's performances. I'm going to have a good, hard look at them, And we're gonna have some words, and we've just got to come out stronger and just look forward to next week.
So you got pipped by 2 points, basically 2.5 points.
Yep.
Tough loss. Good to see McKeegan get past Mylata's thingamabobs, which was a big win for McKeegan because it got him off the schneid. He's still at the bottom of the ladder. Hate to see it. He's 3-8, but. You know, add some respectability to this NFL Australia Legends League where all 12 teams are now, you know, looking half decent, basically, apart from McKeegan and his 3-8. So, but a really close week,
right? We can't give McKeegan
right?
too much shit. We can't give McKeegan too much shit. We gave him so much last week that, like, Jez reckoned he had a concussion. Yeah. He was just copping head, like, yeah.
McKeegan hooked me up last week. He found some, gems and swung by the house and dropped them off. So thanks, McKeegan. Nice. But it was a weirdly close week, I think, in a bunch of them. The McKeegan matchup, yours, and there was another one that only had like a 6-point sort of difference. So the fantasy is getting fun, pointy, and chaos.
Spicy.
Hate to see it when Gaz loses, though, don't you? Just tough scenes. Right, Thanksgiving week.
Support.
Thanksgiving week. We've got the 3 games. My Patriots are actually playing.
Oh.
First time in a long time, really, I think.
I'm going to get no fucking work done on Friday.
Sure. I mean, is that any different to any other time? It's like, you're usually calling me going, Jimmy, I've had some beers. What are we doing? Baba baba doo. It's like, all right, Gaz is in. It's just a Friday afternoon. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get like
corporate sales life.
I'm trying to get like an entire fucking website's worth of weekend shit up and published. Yeah. Anyway, Pats at Vikings, Minnesota 2.5 point favorites. We've both landed on Minnesota. I just think the turnaround after that loss, the Pats on a short week on the Thursday, it's just going to be a bit too much for this sort of pop gun Pats offense that could only manage 3 points. I mean, it's going to be in the dome. Well, yeah, the inside of Viking Stadium, but I just trust the Vikings offense a lot more than I trust the Pats, and only 2.5. Like, even if the Vikings stink it up, I think they can still win this by three. Seems pretty fair, right?
Oh, same.
Buffalo, Detroit. Buffalo back-to-back weeks in Detroit. They're actually 8.5-point favorites on the road, which you'd think is pretty crazy, but considering they just played there as a home team.
It's effectively a home game.
It's basically they may as well have just stayed at home, and that's 8.5 inside. Josh Allen is going to put the hurt on somebody. I think this is where the Detroit win streak comes to a crashing halt, and Buffalo get back to their real fuck you winning ways where they just drop like a 40-7 game on somebody's head. That somebody be Detroit. The Giants, Dallas. Take it away, Gaz. I've gone the Giants +8.5. You've taken Dallas.
I think it'll... I just think it'll continue. I think they showed some where they want to be identity-wise. They're actually getting something out of... Dak was sharp this week, which is what he hasn't been since coming back from that injury. So if that continues, I think they're learning to not try and run Zeke as the primary just because Jerry's paying him too fucking much. Pollard's getting more and more of the ball as this season goes on. And I just think the Giants will be found out to be the one-trick ponies that they are. And this is the cliff that they fall off.
I like it. The 8.5 just felt too big for me. I think this is a backdoor cover.
It does
cover,
feel a lot of points.
Where it's like Jerry Dallas, world, you know. Dallas are up by, like, I don't know, 15, 14 or something. And then there's like a late touchdown and just something, and the 8.5 gets covered by the Giants. I think they still lose. So, but the Giants, I mean, all they do is sort of play mostly shitty tight games, and 8.5 just feels like a lot. Moving on to Monday's games, we've got Cleveland hosting Tampa Bay. I've actually gone the Browns +2.5. I think Tampa Bay outside in the cold, old man Tom, the run game of the Browns, I think this might be the one time where you just go, oh, yeah. We know that Tampa Bay is meant to have like a pretty tough, staunch run defense, but I just think outside, the Browns might just make this a big contest. They might even win this one outright. So if they're at home and they're underdogs, I'll take those 2.5 points.
You'll take it. Yeah, I just feel that like before last week, the Tampa Bay were trending in the right direction and starting to get healthy at the right time and starting to just get a little bit into that groove, and I just feel Cleveland is that up and down. Yeah, I think just down to earth.
Yeah,
Tampa
worries
Bay,
me.
This is the right time to get right.
That was the one I think this week where I'm like, yeah, that might be the one that I message Gaz later in the week, go, yeah, I'm joining you on Tampa Bay. Because like the way I think about this sort of stuff as well is like, what is it? It's Tuesday. And then by the time I'm actually putting money on these games on like Saturday or Sunday or whatever, like my brain will have gone, no, I'm not putting money on Cleveland. Like, so if I do change it later in the week, you'll hear about it. Jacksonville, they're hosting Baltimore. We've both gone Baltimore -3.5. I did toss up this one as well. I literally had Jacksonville written down +3.5 just because I think it's one that Jacksonville lose by three. And the half point, you're like, oh, it's a bit tough there. Because, I mean, Jacksonville off a bye, Baltimore 13-3 over Carolina this week. It's a very...
Worries me for someone who's taken himself seriously as a playoff contender. Baltimore, you just kind of expect a bit more, right?
Especially offensively, but it's not quite there. But look, I think defensively, they might actually just detonate on Jacksonville, though. So with that sloppy Trevor Lawrence play. Atlanta, they head to Washington. We've actually both gone Atlanta +4.5. I didn't like this one either. It feels like you don't really like it, but the 4.5 against Washington, Atlanta, look, their defense, it's not really there. No Pitts. Fuck, I feel like I'm just talking myself into Washington. But the -4.5, doesn't it feel like Washington win this by three?
Yeah, exactly. And it was literally like the Atlanta all season of just didn't you think they've pulled games close, they've won dirty, all that sort of stuff. And I feel like Washington might be feeling themselves a little bit after the last 2 weeks of, you know, we've knocked off the Eagles, fucking we've done this, and then it's just about time for a bit of a down-to-earth dip. So I reckon Atlanta, they might, you know, Washington maybe win, but it'll be under the 4.5.
Denver, they go to Carolina. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road. It's just...
I hated picking this game.
Yuck. Just really?
Yeah.
2.5-point favorites on the road, this Denver team. It's kind of more about the defense, I guess, here. But even the defense has not been great lately, so
can't. This was a coin flip for me. Honestly, I just cannot trust anything that Carolina team is just putting out there. So, yeah. But Denver is exactly the same. So,
but it's one of those things where you look at it and go, anyway, what's the strength of one team? Like, does it outstrip absolutely everything else for the other other team? That Denver defense still just can do some good shit. So, fuck it, Denver. Cincy at 10, Tennessee. I've gone Tennessee plus 1.5. You've gone Cincy. I just think the Tennessee game plan will be at home, where they're not exactly like a fucking juggernaut, but I think we've seen them get right after Mahomes, get right after every other quarterback they've gone after in the last couple of weeks. If they get after Joe Burrow, like, who's stopping them, you know? So Tennessee run over the top of the Cincy defense, and Tennessee win. So if I'm getting 1.5 at home, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, we've been expecting Cincy to get that right for a while. We've got, so Chase is, I think he's considered day-to-day at the moment, maybe. And then it's also Mixon, depending on what happens with the concussion. So we could be getting two fucking weapons back and we could be completely without them. So once again, later in the week, this all might change. But I just still, look, I don't trust this Tennessee team. I feel like it's they're kind of a bit fraudulent. But anyway, I'm just giving it to Tennessee, to Cincy here.
Like it, Miami, Cincy as well, I think they have the exact same record they had at the same time last year. Then they made a Super Bowl. So maybe this is the statement win where they turn it really right on. And away we go. Yeah. Miami, they host Houston, 12.5 point favorites. You could have made this 15 and I probably would have still gone Miami.
Yeah.
Tua just going to air it out. Waddle and Tyreek. Look, prayers up if you're playing either of them in fantasy this week. I think this is going to be 40,
this could be
40, I don't know. Let's go 42-7. Boom, done.
But, I mean, this is also the dumb fucky games that Houston this year have, just somehow managed to keep dirty and just keep close. That said, I'm wholly with you. The smart money is you have to pick Miami, even to cover that spread. But
I just don't think, on the road,
Houston
tend to do that sort of shit at home rather than on the road, Miami cover that.
True.
Jets, they host Chicago. We've both got Chicago plus 4, 5.5. Again, this is just the line for me. The Jets are uninspiring. They scored 3 points this week. The Chicago Bears aren't bad. We don't know what's going to happen with Jussie Fields. But if he plays, I'm taking Chicago. If he doesn't, I feel like I reserve my right to flip this pick.
But it still feel weird that we got 5 points, considering against the team who, yes, I know that they've got the record that they've got, but they put up 3 points in 60 minutes of football. So, I don't know. I'm sticking with Chicago for now on this one.
Yep, Seattle, we both picked them over Vegas minus 4.5. It's because they're a better football team and Vegas stink.
Yep, done. I don't think there's anything more to add to that.
Arizona, they host the Chargers. We both got the Chargers. This is just a reading, I think, how much Arizona stink. And they're horrible at home anyway, so... Yeah. Chargers on the road,
both
minus 3.5.
Things, very true.
Love it. Rams, Kansas City, KC of 14.5. I had a pause for a second about that. Oh, that's a lot of points. KC don't cover. Oh, wait, they're playing the Rams. Ha, fuck it. Boom, done. 14.5.
Who the fuck do the Rams have that will put up points? Is Higby going to put up 28?
It's tough. It's really tough. No, it's Kansas. I guess the thing is, the Rams, can they sort of dig up something defensively and really get after Mahomes, that they have one last sort of burst in them? McVay's lost 4 games for the first time, in a row, first time in his entire career as a coach, that sort of shit. Does he want to lose 5? I don't think he's going to have any choice in the matter because they're going to get fucking shocked.
No, I was going to say, you act like it was just a decision to flick that switch.
Yep. Niners, they host the New Orleans Saints. We're both gone the Niners. You've written question marks after San Francisco.
Oh, because you didn't...
Oh, there's no line. That's right. They'd only just played, so there's no line in that one. So head to head.
Yeah. So that's why I went. I assume that yes, head to head. It was definitely the Niners, but yeah.
Give me 1 second. We'll see if we've actually got a line for that. Now it was kind of they were pretty heavily favored as well. Yeah. Still no line. So it's $1.25 head to head against the 4.10 of New Orleans. So that would probably fit around 8, It's pretty short. Yeah, that'd probably be about an 8.5-point line, I dare say, which feels about right. Niners, Saints, okay. Niners at home. Yeah, that'd be about 8, 7.5, something like that. So I will take the Niners, whatever the line is, because I think
they will defense fucking... against fucking Andy Dalton. Yes, yep. Please.
Anytime. Philly, they host Green Bay, your beloved Eagles, only 6.5-point favorites against the Pack.
I'm going to take that. I'm just hoping that we run the ball hard and run it early, because that is where all of our successes become, and we're starting to try and shoot the lights out. And then when we get behind, because someone's running the ball down our throat, it's not going quite so well. So fingers crossed that defense gets after Aaron Rodgers. They started winning with him not needing to run to throw the ball. I think he threw it, what, less than 20 times when they beat the Cowboys. So hopefully we stall up the middle of that defensive line and give him a hell of a day, and it's fucking double digits.
Love it. And whose bright idea was this? But Pittsburgh going to Indy on Monday Night Football.
Blech. Monday Night fucking football. Blech. I'm going to the Gold Coast next week. I was thinking, do I go up early and then find somewhere fun on the Gold Coast to watch Monday Night Football? Oh, no, it's Pittsburgh Indy. I'm going to work. Schedule a meeting. That's exactly it, for fuck's sake.
Brutal. Yeah, that's
NFL scheduling gods didn't help us.
This is a tough one. We've actually both gone Pittsburgh, +2.5. Underdogs on the road in Indy. They just feel like a little bit more trustworthy. Obviously, this Indy team has shown us a little bit of something under Jeff Saturday. And it does feel like when you just put like a rah-rah coach, we've seen it with Dan Campbell, like, but obviously he's been a coach for years now. But when you get that sort of like light a fire under your ass coach, like those teams tend to sort of respond and cover. I mean, that's what, 2 straight weeks that Indy have covered. They nearly beat the fucking Eagles. Like, but Pittsburgh, I don't know. I just trust Tomlin more than Jeff Saturday. Like, sometimes it just comes down to that, yeah. Right? Like, even on the road.
They just, like, receiver-wise, even during that game, once they shut down Taylor, you know, they put the first 7 points up. Once they shut down Taylor, he didn't really have much. If you look at that last play, it got to 4th and 21, and Matt Ryan made a, what, 7-yard pass, and the running back ran out. Like, didn't even try and hoik it down the field on your last play.
That's called the white flag special, that one. That's,
yeah, I know. I'm definitely taking the wide receivers, and TJ Watt back will make his life fucking hell.
Yep.
And yeah, I just think that I don't think I've picked Pittsburgh all season, but this one I am.
Yeah, love it. Well, we both went 7 for last week. We actually traded out a couple of our differing picks this week, and we both ended up on 7 out of the, I think there would have been 13 games last week. Okay. So not bad. So I'm still with a 15 game lead over you. So I don't know. It might be feeling insurmountable if you're only taking 3 different from me this week. Jesus. It's going to take you a while to catch up that way, guys. This is the white flag special from you. You're going to owe me a slab by the end of this.
No, this is smart management, mate. There's no point, like, just, you know, going on tilt and throwing some ridiculous picks in there.
Are you seriously going to damage mitigation? Jesus. Tough scenes. All right. That's it. Week 11 of NFL Australia. Dunskies. Obviously, we're weekly. It is the season. We're going to be here every week, every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, by the time you hear us, probably. But in the meantime, chuck a follow on Facey, Twitter, the IGs, all that good shit. Make sure you review and rate us and whatever on your podcast app, all that good stuff. You know, follow it, rate it, star it, whatever the fuck you got to do. Like, we don't ask for much. We literally ask for nothing. So
very little.
Hook us up.
Subscribe. Help us out. Help a brother out. I'm going to dedicate this one to Shaden, who tells me that his favourite episodes are ours, are the ones that we actually keep it under an hour and a half, and we're actually running on time.
That's because I think we're both too tired to even, like, smash too many tins tonight. So, tough scene.
That's it.
Either way, big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. And get around NBA Australia, daily NBA show back pretty soon. You can check me out also on CodeBet Daily. That's another good podcast. That's also daily. Jesus, me and the fellas, Oh boy. Me doing a lot of FIFA World Cup talk as, because
yeah,
that's exactly what I know a lot about. But
or at least sitting around while other people make
that's what I'm really good at, usually while drinking. CodeBet, that's a good website. Go check that out. Check me out on Fox Sports Lab NBA, as I mentioned earlier. That goes up on the internet every Thursday, Friday morning with me and my good friend Carlos Boozer. And, yeah, read the paper. Gaz, what do you want to plug? You've got a show coming up.
I do. Ramshackle Army are playing the last time for 2022 and maybe, fuck, last time forever. I don't know. The Friday the 9th at the Bendigo in Collingwood. We're headlining a show with our mate Side Splitter, so that's going to be a whole bunch of fun. And then, of course, I'm just being a smart-ass dick, making comments about Philadelphia Eagles on Eagles Australia, so jump over to that if you're an Eagles fan, and if you're not, I don't really care.
I mean, if you're not an Eagles fan and you want to listen to Eagles Australia just to hang out with Gaz, I mean, do that. That's fine. I mean,
yeah, just say g'day, mate. I'll just tell you what pub I'm at. Just come down and talk to me about the fucking Eagles. That's fine.
Yeah,
everyone gets treated to the off-season, we can talk about Geelong.
Everyone gets traded to an Eagles Australia if they're within 5 metres of you at any time anyway. So
it's fucking true.
Basically true. Did a fucking Eagles Australia at the old Moondog brewery.
My fucking birthday, Sunday, so. I'll talk about what I want to.
It's like, yeah, did you see the offensive line? It's like, shut up, Gaz, fuck. Anyway, happy birthday, mate. Happy birthday. All right.
Thanks, mate.
That's it for this week. We will catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yas.
Later, hosen.